Good morning. Good morning, everyone. My Bible is open to the sixth chapter of Galatians, Galatians 6 and verse 9. That's our launching point for this entire series. It's the verse that undergirds everything that we want to do together in this week. I must tell you, I have never preached a meeting in such a time as this, but my commitment to you this week is to make absolutely certain that these lessons connect you with Scripture, so that from the living Word of God, God's Spirit revives and recharges us so that we can fulfill Galatians 6 verse 9. Paul says there, Galatians 6 and verse 9, let us not grow weary of doing good. In due season we will reap if we do not give up. Our goal is to plug ourselves into the Word of God so that we can be connected with God in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this lesson series this week is not about piling more stuff on your to-do list. We all have plenty of stuff. But it is about a serious heart focus that will cause us to get refocused on serving the Lord. So in a moment, we're going to talk about stress and anxiety, particularly tomorrow evening. We want to talk about how Paul managed that calmness that he speaks of so often in his epistles, despite the crazy that was going on in his life. On Tuesday, we're going to talk about marriage, because there's a lot of marriages that are winded and dying. And the pandemic revealed in some couples that our marriage wasn't very strong to start with. What can we do to rejuvenate marriage? On Wednesday, then, we'll talk about focusing on Jesus with all the distractions that are pulling us away from Him. That's the game plan. That's what we need to do. And I want to make my commitment to you that if you will pray for me this week, if you will open your heart to the Word of God, together we can be recharged by the Word of God. And that starts in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In 2 Corinthians 1, Paul says this about his life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 7, Paul tells the Corinthian brethren, 2 Corinthians 1, 7, Paul says there, our hope for you is unshaken. For we know that as you share in our sufferings, you also will share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. We were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. This passage tells us that we are not the first to live in difficult and hard times. Maybe verse 8 rings true, not just about Paul, but about you and your life. Since March of 2020, it's been incredible, hadn't it? All the Zoom meetings, screen time for school and work and even worship. All the isolation, being away from our loved ones. There are people we haven't seen in months. Not being able to hug, even when we're together, having being behind a mask. Looks like the Association of American Bank Robbers meeting. All the business about should we do this? What will the government do about that? Should I be vaccinated? What about the uncertainty? Uncertainty about our jobs, uncertainty about the economy, uncertainty about our health. Layer on top of that the strife and turmoil that went with the racial unrest we've known in this country, and then put two helpings of all the venom and vitriol that went with one of the ugliest presidential elections this country has ever seen, and guess what? We're feeling it, aren't we? How are you doing this morning? Feeling some stress? Feeling like you're living in verse 8? We were utterly burdened beyond our strength. Is that you right now? The American Psychological Association issued a warning recently about the impact that all of these stressful events are going to have on our long-term physical and mental health. They've done some polling, they did some research, and they found out, hold on to your seats, Americans are really stressed out. Wow! So glad they discovered that. Their survey responses found that nearly half of Americans said they'd had to delay or cancel health care services because of the pandemic. Alcohol consumption, up. Getting enough sleep, way down. A majority of adults reported undesirable weight gain. I've never seen everyone in an audience squirm at the same time. There's just a lot going on. And every marker and every gauge tells us that 20 or so months of everything that's happening around us is difficult and tiring and stressful. So if we're going to get recharged, what we need to do first and foremost is do something about all that stress that all of us are carrying around. So this morning I want us to consider from the Word of God what we do to engage and deal with stress as disciples. 2 Corinthians 1 says Paul knew stress, but it didn't destroy him and it didn't keep him from being effective. I want some of that. The Bible has the answers. Let's look to the Scriptures to hear what God's Word says that will help us in this very stressful time. Maybe as we're doing some of that, we ought to just say a word or two about how stress fits into our lives. Can I tell you this? Stress isn't all bad. Sometimes stress helps us by forcing us to be a little more tuned in to what's going on. I'm going to guess that if you strapped a heart rate monitor onto David when he sauntered out onto the battlefield against the Philistine bully, that he was probably pinging it around pretty good. When you're facing a 9-foot Philistine soldier, your blood pressure and your heart rate are gonna be cooking. But that's okay, because I don't want David sauntering onto the battlefield half asleep with droopy eyelids saying, I don't know what I'm doing. No, I need him fully alert, fully alive. I need him going. And stress functions in our lives to push us forward. But I need to add to that the reality that not all the stress we experience in our life is completely in our control. Can I borrow from 2 Corinthians again? In 2 Corinthians 11, Paul says this in verse 28. In 2 Corinthians 11, in verse 28, Paul says there, as he lists a lot of things that were going wrong in his life, he says in 2 Corinthians 11 in verse 28, apart from all these other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for the churches. Paul experienced a lot of stress because brethren didn't always do what was right, because there were false teachers who showed up and contradicted what he had said, because there was troubles in congregations, because there were places who were repudiating him and saying, hey, he's not even an apostle. We're not going to listen to him. And Paul couldn't do anything about that. That was beyond his control. And I need to tell you this morning, if you show up for work tomorrow and there's a pink slip on your desk, that's going to cause you some stress. You cannot control that. You come home tomorrow, your teenager has a brand new tattoo, that's going to cause you some stress, and you can't control that. If the Texas Rangers don't get some pitching, they're going to lose 100 games next year too, and that's going to cause you and me a lot of stress, and we can't control that at all. I have tried to stress that during this pandemic. There are some things beyond our control. All of that adds up to the reality that stress is just part of our lives. If your goal is to be stress-free, that's not happening. At least not in this life. That's just not how life works. So our goal needs to be to manage it, to cope with it, to understand the principles in the Word of God that give disciples a unique vantage point and unique way of dealing with it. Which does mean, by the way, that I'm not going to tell you this morning what you need to do is go on vacation. Hey, just head to the beach. go to the mountains, check out, run away. The travel industry loves that solution. Lots of television commercials advocate that solution, and sometimes that's pretty great. There is a time for rest and relaxation and recreation, but you can't run from your problems. I think about Elijah in 1 Kings 19 running away. God told him, you need to get up, go back to work. It's not about running away from the stress in our lives. It's about things that we're going to do so that we can manage that stress and glorify God. To do that this morning, I've got four key verses. You may want to write these in the back of your Bible, jot them in the bulletin, someplace where you can keep track of these. You're feeling it. That heart rate is pinging up a little bit. You're pulling your hair out. You're snapping at your spouse. You're throwing things at the television because the Cowboys got another false start penalty. What you need to do is review these four passages. Are you ready? Passage number one. Let's look in 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 11. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 11. I love what Paul says here. We need to aspire, 1 Thessalonians 4:11, to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands as we instructed you. I must tell you, the number one place stress comes from is our failure to make a commitment to do 1 Thessalonians 4. We won't make a commitment to lead quiet lives. What we hope is that stress is going to somehow miraculously dissolve on its own. And you hear people say things like, when it gets back to normal. And I know, and you know, that when things get back to normal, meaning the pandemic has largely ended its effect and influence on our society, that there will be some changes. But does anybody remember in 2019? Was anybody stressed then? Did you have any anxiety? Of course we did. Stress, remember, is a part of life. So hoping that it's all just going to go away is simply wishful thinking. The reality is, of course, that sometimes all the stress in our life comes because we allow chaos and busyness and deadlines and last-minute stuff to enter into our life, and we say things like, I'm all stressed out, but we kind of like it because it makes us feel important. And we like to tell our friends how busy we are and how much is on our plate and how frantic our life is. It makes us feel like we're really mattering and really doing something. Not all stress is beyond our control, but in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 11, Paul says there, a bunch of it is, and you need to aspire to live a quiet life. I'm not really comfortable. I love my ESV, but I'm not really comfortable with the word aspire there. That sounds kind of fanciful. The New American Standard Translation says that we need to make it our ambition. One other translation says, make it your goal. We are, as disciples, called upon to do what it takes to lead a quiet life. How much consideration have you given that? That God calls us, instead of being harried and worried and freaked out, to lead a quiet life. Who gets up on Monday morning and says, today, I'm going to do some things, put some things in place so that I can lead a quiet life? Who says that? Disciples say that. Disciples say that. And when we say that, it means that we then are making a commitment to do and to act in such a way as to calm life down. That matters. That matters to God. It matters to my spirituality. Indeed, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus addresses this as part of the Sermon on the Mount. Let me have a little bit of Matthew chapter 6. I love how realistic Jesus is. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Jesus says there, after talking about worry and anxiety, and all of that is just stress about a specific issue, Jesus says, stop with that. Instead, seek first, Matthew 6:33, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, don't be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Jesus tells us, Paul tells us, lead a quiet life. Jesus tells us, stop with all the stress. Do the things necessary. Aspire. Make it your ambition to be calmer. And if you're wondering, why is that such a big deal? Just go back to that passage that we started with in 1 Thessalonians 4:11. Read the very next verse. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 12, Paul says that if we'll aspire to live quietly, then we can walk, 1 Thessalonians 4:12, properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. Who is going to be attracted to Christianity if what they see in Christians around them is that we're running the same rat race everybody else is involved in, and we're just as stressed as all the other rats? We're not rats. We are servants of Christ, and we need to make a decision that we will live a quiet life. Second passage this morning, how about the golden rule? Can I have Matthew 7 and verse 12 here? In Matthew 7 and verse 12, already alluded to the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says there, whatever you wish that others would do unto you, do also unto them, for this is the law and the prophets. You know, anytime I've ever preached on stress and anxiety and worry, I've always known that I'm missing some of my audience. We've always got some people who've got things kind of pieced together. Maybe they're just retired. They don't have a whole lot on their plate. Maybe life is treating them in a good way. But I know this morning, there ain't anybody who saw these sermon titles, oh, well, I don't need that. Yep, the COVID pandemic has dealt us all a double helping of anxiety and worry. All of us are clocked in this morning and needing to get what's going on here, which means that all of us need to pay attention, because none of us are at our best self right now. One writer said, I've realized that everyone in the whole world has been living with an elevated stress baseline for over a year. Just ordinary life stress becomes overwhelming. When that happens, we lose the capacity for good judgment and our negative responses escalate. COVID-19 has strapped a booster rocket onto every concern we have. And you know what that means? That means that I want you to give me extra grace. That means I want you to give me more slack. That means I want you to handle me with kid gloves, because I'm stressed with everything that's going on. And if I want you to handle me that way, how do I need to handle you? Matthew 7 and 12 is challenging us in these challenging times to be extra nice, to be even more compassionate, to handle others with great care, because all of us are feeling the difficulties and trials of these last 20 months. And I want you to know, in our world right now, extra kindness stands out. Not very long ago, Dean and I ordered some food to pick up at the curb, the restaurant, and the lady on the other end was harried and flustered, and a lot of things was going on as I was talking to her on the phone, and she's trying to get her order right. Finally, I just said, ma'am, I'm just thankful y'all are open. And if you get my sides right or wrong, that's not a big deal. I'm just glad that y'all are cooking food for us today. She started crying. She started crying on the phone. I said, ma'am. She said, you can't believe what people are saying. When we don't get it right, don't get it on time. Thank you for being nice to me. Isn't that what disciples ought to be known for? we're the people who practice Matthew 7 and 12. And when we're talking about stress and how that brings out the worst in people, isn't the truth that when people are afraid, it works doubly on us? Fear does funny things to people. King Saul was afraid, which meant he was hiding in his tent when he should have been leading the people of God. Fear made Peter become a hypocrite, the very one who preached the gospel to Gentiles for the first time. I read this quote, "Neurologists and brain researchers have discovered that when the brainstem region that manages fear gets activated, the frontal cortex of the brain, which manages higher processes like rational thought, shuts down. Fear and anxiety makes us stupid." Now, I must tell you, I didn't understand most of that, and I don't know if I have a frontal cortex. But I know there's plenty of stupid in our world because people are afraid and people are uncertain and people are unsure. And as a result of that, it's time to be extra kind. The Bible's answer to all of that is in Proverbs 15. If you look at Proverbs 15 and verse 1, in Proverbs 15 and verse 1, there the wise man says, Proverbs 15 and 1, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." You see how that turns down the noise level? It takes two to argue. What if you won't be the second? The argument goes away, and so does the stress. Refuse to fuel conflict. Stop feeding the complaining beast. Decide that you'll be extra kind to people. Make a decision to give everybody you meet the benefit of the doubt that they're doing the best they can. Practice the golden rule. Passage number 3 in Philippians chapter 4. What about cutting something out? In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, Paul says, writing in the stressful situation of a prison cell, he says in Romans 4 and verse 11, "I'm not speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." Paul is working through the stress of persecution and imprisonment by saying less is more. I don't need so much. I can do with less and make my life quieter. What could you do without? What could you cut out? Or maybe could I ask this? What could you unplug? The human heart was not made to consume every bit of bad news and information about every sad tragedy around the world 24/7. Yet we do. Something terrible happened on the other side of the planet that has nothing to do with me. People are sad about it. Let me click on that so I can be sad too. Oh, look, here's someone with a degree and a bunch of certifications after their name who says everything that I've ever heard and believed about, you pick the subject, COVID, politics, Texas Rangers pitching, whatever I believe about that is wrong, and they're really mad. Let me read that so I can be furious too. Oh, look, over there's a terrible crime being committed. People are being murdered, or some plague is going somewhere, or aliens are abducting people, or llamas are murdering folks. I hate murder llamas. They're the worst. Let me look at this so that I can be all anxious about all of this. When did doom scrolling become everybody's hobby? We need better hobbies. We need something else to do besides look at our phone all the time that feeds the stress in our lives. Here's two fundamental facts to remember. I don't need to know everything that's happening everywhere. Secondly, I don't need to comment on everything that's happening everywhere. Even more, the fearful mind is prone to create or accept fanciful narratives and conspiracy theories and dark ideas to explain the evil around us. Don't go down those rabbit holes. What could you cut out of your life so that you would be a little less stressed? A good place to start might be those devices we get plugged into instead of being plugged into God's Word. If it's out of my control, if I can't change it, God's going to have to take care of it today. I won't stress about that. Fourth, let's go to Exodus. How about Exodus chapter 34? In Exodus chapter 34, here the law of Moses says this about rest. In Exodus the 34th chapter, in verse 21, by now someone's wondering, why does he say the verse so many times? It's projected on the screen. We can read that. Exodus 34, 21, 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall rest in plowing time and in harvest you shall rest. I am concerned about that study by the American Psychological Association that says Americans aren't resting well. Because rest is an important part of how we were made by God. And in the law of Moses, yes, I know we're not under the law of Moses today, but in that law, even with the busyness of agricultural and farming, at a time when people thought, I need to get after it and get to it, God says, you're going to rest. On the Sabbath day, you shall rest. Do you think the Lord might know something about our bodies and how they operate and what is best for us? But let me emphasize to you the value of real rest. What happens when we get a day off? What happens on our weekends? Yeah, we cram in more activity. We just do more stuff. And then we're more exhausted than ever before. Who's courageous enough to say, enough, I need to rest? Jesus rested. There's several occasions in the Gospels where Jesus says, we got to get away from all of this. Stop for a little bit. Jesus falls asleep in a boat, Mark chapter 4. Jesus took naps. And yes, I am saying that one of the things that can help us handle stress is if we take care of our bodies better by getting to bed on time and taking some naps. And you know what really might help us sometimes? If we decided to have a period where we rest in the Lord, where we cut the game off and we set the phone down, face down, and we got our Bible and we reviewed the promises of God and read passages of power and strength like the 23rd Psalm, for God's word to Joshua in Joshua 1, be strong and of good courage. We read 1 Peter 5, cast your anxieties upon the Lord, for He cares for you. What if we shut everything off and we sat before the Lord and we prayed and we took Scripture in and we rested our bodies, thought about the Lord? That's what the Sabbath was. That's what the Sabbath was designed to be. And again, I say, I know that we're not under that covenant and that law, but I'm saying, I think Scripture's saying, that all of us can use some time of quiet, not a time for more doing and activity, even if it is fun. We need to rest, and meditating on the Bible, praying on about words of assurance can dispel our worries and our anxieties and our stress. If you're feeling it, check and see. Maybe I just need to rest. Let me give you one more verse and the lesson will be yours. Let's look in Proverbs chapter 12. In Proverbs chapter 12, and verse 25. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25, our world has been turned upside down. In some ways, it seems like it may be thinking about righting itself, but even that we're not entirely sure of. All of us have experienced unprecedented troubles and trials. all of us have anxieties and worries and concerns across the board. The result of that is we're worn out, our faith is fragile, and we're full of stress. What that means is this is a time to slow down, to determine we'll be kind even when others aren't, and that we'll rest even when others are running around frantically. It is a time to pray for the peace that comes from God and to trust that God will help us. Remember, you and I may not have ever seen worse, but God most certainly has. Which is why the wise man says in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25, anxiety in a man's heart, Proverbs 12 and 25, weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. I hope this morning that this is a good word that gladdens your heart. I hope everything that we do this week will be a good word that will gladden your heart, that will reduce your stress, will cut your anxiety, and recharge us in our service before God. Let's pray. Would you pray with me, please? Almighty God and Father in heaven, we come before you, Father, confessing. Sometimes we court stress and allow it in our lives. We wear it as a badge of honor. We think busyness makes us important. Help us to make better decisions that we might lead quieter lives. I'm asking, Father, that you would bless us with an extra dose of kindness for those around us. And give us the strength of character to say there are some things we could certainly do without. Things that pump worry into our hearts. Bless us, Father, to seek rest. Rest in your presence. Rest for our bodies. We ask, Father, that your word would seek deeply into our hearts, that we might indeed hear your word and not be so stressed. Bless this church. Bless our shepherds, and bless this special effort this week. Recharge us, God, that we would not be weary in well-doing. In Christ we pray, and amen. If you're going to sing with a songbook, you should grab one. You'll need it in about 40 seconds. Because in 40 seconds, we'll be standing to sing an invitation, an opportunity for you to evaluate where you are in your walk with God. Maybe the reason you're stressed is because you know that if you went to meet the Lord right now, or if the Lord came to meet you, it would not go well. That is some significant and serious stress. The only way to alleviate that is to become right with the Lord. If you don't know about Jesus Christ, we'd love to help you know more about Him so that you can give Him your life. But if you know and you're just not doing, that's why you're stressed. And this is the moment and this is the time when you can take your faith in hand and say, I need to follow Jesus. I want to be baptized for the remission of my sins. I want to be a Christian. If you are a child of God and you're not making a very good job of it, this is that time. You take inventory during this song and then you say, I need some help. I need some prayers. I need some encouragement. I want to follow Jesus better. Can we help you become a Christian? Could we help you be a better Christian? Make your way right down front while we stand, while we sing.